Welcome back to 32 Fans. I'm Alex Chester. With me, as always, is Wheels Wienerker. Wheels, how's it rolling?
At Lindsay Yuck. Wow. Can't believe Tom Brady lost two Super Bowls to someone who got benched for Geno Smith.
So by the transitive property, Tom Brady should be benched for Geno, I guess, right?
Yeah, but then Geno, who did Geno get benched for?
Geno's been benched for a lot of guys, I think.
Yeah. Fitzpatrick. Harold Rosengarten asked me, has anyone ever started for both the Jets and the Giants, which Geno is about to do on Thursday night?
Apparently, nobody has.
Nobody has. Lee Grosskopf played for both teams. He started for the Jets. He relieved many games for the Giants, but as like a third stringer. So he threw about 50 passes for the Giants. Never as a starter. So Geno will be the first quarterback to ever start for the Jets and the Giants, and ostensibly opening day 2018, Eli Manning will be the second.
So you think Eli's going to the Jets?
No. I mean,
that'd be something.
It's possible. It wouldn't shock me. I don't know. I mean, is Eli Manning better than Josh McCown at this point, a 39-year-old Josh McCown?
Well, this is my question. Will Eli be a starting quarterback in the NFL next year?
I mean, I have this question, too. Like, let's say we were, because I have him in League of Leagues. Let's say it was a 12-quarterback league where, like, QBs were really undroppable. Obviously, he's droppable in our league now. But what if it's a 12-quarterback league? Like, you almost want to hold on to him.
I think he might retire.
He'll retire if he doesn't get offered a starting job. I think if someone wants to start him, he would probably stick around. I mean, listen, with a competent offensive line and, like, good receivers, he's better than, like, Blaine Gabbert, right?
Well, people are speculating in my fantasy football league that he might go to Jacksonville for that very reason.
Like, right now, you mean? Like, should they cut him?
Well, no.
That would be funny. That would actually be
not
cool.
Next year.
I mean, awesome. Coughlin would for sure swoop him up. I mean, it's better than...
Oh, yeah, I forgot about the whole Coughlin thing.
Totally forgot about
that. Yeah, that's probably why they're talking about it. Oh, man, people in your league must run circles around you. You're stupid. So now you posted a picture of yourself with Braun Strowman, WWE superstar.
Yeah, I don't know who that is.
It's like he's like their new Undertaker or Kane.
I have no idea who he is.
He's a big dude.
Yeah, he's large. I went to two lunches today.
Okay.
Let's start with the second one first.
Well, you're really
the gentleman
like,
I was sitting across from.
Would you say that like you're like a blue blood? Would you agree with that sentiment?
No, not at all.
Okay. I just feel like you're like...
Why, because
like,
I had lunch at the Harvard Club?
Yeah, I feel like that was your second lunch. Your first lunch was at a $1,000 plate. I checked, $750 a plate luncheon.
You checked.
And then, of course I checked.
Yeah, but I didn't pay that.
All day. And then
All right. I just need to make a comment here. So, look, granted, I was brought up as an Orthodox Jew who kept kosher.
Yeah.
So I was sort of trained to dislike... various aquatic sea life, at least as a thing to eat.
Okay.
But I can see the appeal of lobster. It's a lot of work.
Yeah.
But if somebody's doing the work,
I mean, it was just a Curb Your Enthusiasm episode about oysters, and I was anti-oyster. You're anti-oyster, right?
I know. Well, that's where I'm going here.
Okay.
Oysters to me are so gross. They look gross. They're like, they're so disgusting. The guy I was sitting across from at my second lunch today literally got oysters. And I was thinking about, your podcast I had just listened to an hour before that, and obviously the Curb episode I saw a day before that. And I was so disgusted, I literally couldn't look at him when he was eating. I had to, stare down at my food.
I was so disgusted.
See,
I could see that. I'm I don't even know really what eating oysters look like. No one's ever eaten oysters next to me. Someone messaged
really
me and was
gross.
Like, how come you've never had a cheeseburger? Like, people really, we forget, what people don't know about what we do. Like, we're very niche,
Yeah, we don't cook a kid in its mother's milk, and that we interpret to mean that we can't eat meat and cheese on the same sandwich for some reason. Is a hamburger a sandwich? I mean, obviously it is. That's a
stupid
question.
Save this for the next hot takeoff. But do you know what I've been trying out on a take I've been trying out on people? In 30 years, every Democrat is going to be a vegan, or at least vegetarian, if not vegan, and Republicans are going to be like proud meat eaters. It'll be like guns or abortion now. I think it's going to take.
I think that takes a little bit too hot.
No.
30 years? No, maybe 200 years.
200 years? We'll all be dead. There's no chance we're even going to be around 30 years.
Oh, you want to be alive for this era, you're saying?
No. I'm on the freaking vegan side. I'd love to be dead. I'm not going to become Republican.
Anyway, so my first lunch... It was a lunch fundraiser for the March of Dimes.
Mm-hmm.
Good organization. It was actually a cool event.
You famously hate charity,
so
this was it was a big conflict for you.
When did that happen?
Who paid for this? Did you, was this like a work trip?
Yeah, my firm took out a table.
Okay, fine. So you got to meet.
Well, but actually, I did end up.
You had to pay?
I did end up paying. So, well, yeah. So, yeah. So basically, every single sports media personality was there. So, like, the announcers for, like, every single channel, every single sport, like, everybody was there. And also all like the booth guy, not the what's it called, the guys back at the studio. So like, you know, Bill Cowher and you know, Chris Carter and those kinds of guys, and then a bunch of players from mostly from New York based teams. You know, like former Giants like Harry Carson and former Knicks. You know, like Earl the Pearl Monroe and John Starks. By the way, John Starks shows up at every event. I think I see John Starks like
that's
well,
his
I definitely
gig.
See more
he's
than
like
I see
the,
you.
He's like the Knicks community liaison. I think so. He just does
yeah.
that.
Yeah, he's a big Baal Tzedek, as we say. So anyway, I got a funny story for you. So at one point, Stephanie McMahon and Triple H. I got the names correct,
yes,
right?
They're married in real life.
Yeah, they come up onto the dais. And they start talking about how they got involved in the March of Dimes, which is a charity that goes towards supporting, you know, kids in the NICU, basically. And they talked about how Stephanie, the two of them went to a hospital in Brooklyn somewhere, and they saw like a very, very preemie baby. And here's where the story gets very funny. The baby's name was Shlomo. And so there's a picture. So Triple H leans into the microphone and he says, "And I saw this little baby. His name was Shlomo, and he was so small. He could fit in the palm of my hand," or, you know, something like that. Anyways, so Shlomo's a preemie. He weighs like 2 pounds. But this is where the story gets off the rails. Stephanie and Triple H tell us in the story that Shlomo's parents, and by the way, in the pictures that they're showing on the big screen, Shlomo's parents look exactly like you'd think they'd look.
Okay.
You know what I mean?
Yeah, I know what you mean.
Yeah, Shlomo's parents tell Stephanie and Triple H that they were training to become professional wrestlers.
That sounds dubious. What?
That sounds very dubious. I could say there has never been a child in America named Shlomo whose parents were professional wrestlers.
It narrows it down to zero. I agree.
Yeah. So I was questioning the veracity of the story, but basically this is why they were so inspired, because they saw little Shlomo, and that's how they were inspired to get involved with this. But then the March of Dimes, they did a very smart thing, actually, which I think other charities should copy. And my second lunch was also a charity lunch, and so I told the guy I was sitting with, I said, you know, I think that this charity that I was at my second lunch for should copy what the March of Dimes did, which is, you know, they have on every single place setting a card where you fill out to make a donation, right? Mm-hmm. And usually a schlepper like me who's at this you know, at this lunch free of charge, I'm taking the food. I'm not leaving a check. But then they said, you know who's going to be collecting the checks, the little cards from every table? And all of a sudden, professional wrestlers start running out from every corner of the room.
Okay.
And they're like dressed in their like regular outfits. Now, I don't know who any of these people
are. They're wrestling out. Like, but I saw one picture on Twitter, and Titus O'Neil, who wears like just like underwear to the ring.
Oh, he's an extremely muscular black guy in like tight little red underwear.
He was wearing just underwear at this charity event.
Yes. Yeah, he's a very
he's like their biggest charity guy. Like, he doesn't even wrestle. He's like a professional charity goer. Like, every month they like honor him for like Dad of the Year or something. Like, he's not
he's a good-looking piece of man, I got to say.
Yeah, he's a good-looking guy. He literally doesn't even he barely wrestles. Like, he's literally just like a spokesman.
One of the female wrestlers who was at the table right next to mine, so I overheard her. I got the brawn guy you were talking about. But one of the female wrestlers at the table next to me, somebody said, "Can I shake your hand?" She said, "Nope, don't shake hands. I only kick ass. You want me to kick your ass?"
Was she small or big?
Well, actually, there was two of them right next to me. One was very small, petite, and blonde hair, but the one who said that was very big.
Oh, okay. So it's either that's a Rock family member. Either Nia Jax, his cousin, or Tamina Snuka, The Rock's cousin. Half of WWE is literally related to Dwayne Johnson. Like, his family
anyways,
has half the company.
Oh. So anyway, so the point is, yeah, so this Braun character starts screaming in my face, "Have you given a check yet?"
Oh, my God.
So I made a donation.
That's amazing. So Braun Strowman, like the scariest guy on earth, bullied you into
giving charity.
What'd you write down? 180?
I wrote a number. What does it matter?
Oh, you're by the way, for all your faults, which are literally infinite, you always answer questions. This is like the first. Was the check 360?
No, I did not give $360.
Oh, okay. So what I'm saying, you weren't pressured. No one was looking. So you gave $100.
No, they didn't look at the number. Yeah, I gave a number.
Oh, it was less than $100. Wow, that's
no. I gave more. It doesn't matter. I gave much more than I ate. I can say that much.
Okay. Well, you didn't eat anything there, right? They didn't have a special kosher meal for you.
Yeah, I knew I was going to my second lunch with the prawns and the oysters.
Yeah. Well, what'd you get at your second lunch?
You know, they get like from a kosher restaurant. It was too much because it's like a full course, you know, I had like, they had a salad and they had bread and they had steak and they had dessert. Like, you know, it's a little awkward to be eating like four courses for, you know, when it's all triple wrapped. This is like really not interesting to everybody in the world. So,
oh, yeah, I'm not even listening and I'm on this podcast. Yeah. All right. You ready for a draft? You ready to do a game? Do you have anything else before we do our weekly draft?
No, you're going to pounce this one on me also, right?
Oh, yeah. We really should plan this ahead of time, but I didn't. Open up the Week 13 NFL schedule, if you will.
Okay.
Now, we're going to play the 1 o'clock touchdown game.
The 1 o'clock touchdown game?
Yes. We used to play this at NBC, or we'd talk about playing it. We'd always forget.
Okay.
We're going to draft a team of players, ostensibly fantasy football-type players, running backs and wide receivers, and whosoever player scores the first touchdown of the 1 o'clock hour wins. If nobody scores, then we redo the draft next week, double or nothing.
So it's, how's it possible for nobody to score?
Because it's the first touchdown on Sunday at 1 o'clock. So could one of our players score the first one. There are 9 games at 1 o'clock.
Yeah, but there's a million players who could score. It could be like a punt return for a touchdown.
Well, then it's double. You could double or nothing the whole season.
Okay.
Until someone wins.
Okay, fine.
I didn't want to start it until after
the quarterback? Are we going to take quarterback? It's the throwing touchdown,
no,
or it has to be running?
It's just scoring.
Okay. All right.
Okay.
Got it.
So we'll do 10. We each get 10 picks. And then next week, so it's for $5, our usual bet. But if no one wins next week's for $10 and so on and so forth.
Got it.
Okay. So you have the list of 1 o'clock games. That's Vikings, Falcons, Patriots, Bills.
Yep.
Niners, Bears.
Mm-hmm.
The Bays versus each other, Houston, Tennessee.
Yeah.
Denver, Miami,
yep.
Chiefs, Jets,
yep.
Colts, Jaguars.
Got it.
Lions, Ravens. Oh, I'm just listing them for the
first?
You want first or next two?
You can take first. I don't care.
Okay. I will go with Julio Jones, going against your team. Julio Jones, 60-yard touchdown to...
I was thinking of him. I'm going to go with Gronk.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm going to go, I'm going to stick with my team. I'm going to go with Stefon Diggs.
All right, so you're going with Gronk and Diggs. Now, you could pick 9 guys from one team. You could do whatever you want. There's no real rules.
Are we limited by positions?
No, you could pick a defender. You could pick anybody. You could pick your grandma.
Okay, how many guys are we picking each?
We'll each pick 10 to make it, you know, give us ourselves a reasonable shot. We also have to, like, track this. Because it'll be hard to track after the fact. Although the official NFL thing does give an actual time. So you could go.
Oh. Just plug in Red Zone.
Oh, that's true also. You could just plug in Red Zone. I will pick, with my second pick, I'm going to go with Brandon Cooks of the Patriots.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm going to take Kareem Hunt of the Chiefs. I know he hasn't done anything, but... Maybe the Jets will.
It's been a while for him. All right. I am going to take... I think I should go all in on the Vikings is what I should do. Oh, you know what? Is Devonta Freeman playing? Do we know? Is he back?
I don't know. I don't know what his status is.
All right. I'll hope he's back. I'll take Devonta Freeman,
mm-hmm.
assuming the Falcons are going to run it. And then I will also take... Let's give me some Latavius Murray.
Latavius Murray, not bad. I'm going to go with DeMarco Murray, different Murray, for the Titans playing the Texans. And I'm going to pick Rex Burkhead of the New England Patriots.
All right, well, you obviously took the wrong running back. I'm going to take Deion Lewis for the Patriots.
Rex had 2 touchdowns this past week. They do like to switch
Deion's
off weeks.
Yeah, it's hard to predict with them. All right, I will take... Thielen, Adam Thielen. I'm going all
right, so you're going very heavily Vikings. I'm going to take Alex Collins of the Ravens playing the Lions.
Oh, I forgot about that game.
Yeah. No one really interesting on the Detroit side.
And Baltimore's defense is really good.
What, you know, a good pick that I'm not going to pick is T.Y. Hilton, because even though he sucks, like if he does score, it's going to be on like a 70-yard touchdown that could be at like 103, you know?
Yeah.
But it gets a pass defense. It's a crazy pick. So I'm going to go with LeSean McCoy of the Bills playing the Patriots.
All right. I will take Marvin Jones because he's been getting a lot of touchdowns lately.
Yeah, a lot of touchdowns. Saving my fantasy team.
Yeah. And who else is left? Oh, for Jacksonville, I will take Fournette.
That's a good pick. Leonard Fournette. Okay. Let's see. Tampa Bay. I'll go with Mike Evans of the Bucks. And now I have two picks left. So I will pick...
By the way, this seems really boring to me.
But what do you mean for the people listening? Oh, yeah, they've shut this off. But it'll be fun at 1 o'clock on Sunday for 5 minutes.
Yeah, you got to track this one. I got enough to worry about.
I wrote down mine. I'll track a one. That's pretty simple. And then Tennessee doesn't have any receivers. Has anyone picked DeAndre Hopkins yet? I'll pick DeAndre Hopkins.
Oh, yeah, that's a good pick. All right, I'll take Robbie Anderson of your Jets.
Yeah, that's also a good like 1 o'clock bet. They get the ball first, maybe they throw it deep to Robbie.
I got to take one more guy, right?
One more guy.
Give me Travis Kelce. Travis Kelce.
You're going with Travis Kelce, and I will pick. I'll go with T.Y. Hilton of the Colts. Maybe he'll finally break out.
You said you weren't going to take him. All right.
I lied.
Okay, this was exciting.
All right, that was one of the great drafts of all time. All right, Week 13, league where they play for pay.
Yep.
Do you have the games ranked by import or excitement?
Yeah, of course I do. Who do you think you're talking?
How many games? We're going to argue about this. How many games would you say are irrelevant this weekend of the 16?
Irrelevant?
Yes.
There's five of them.
So you're counting the first one. You're counting Cowboys Redskins.
No, I think that's still relevant.
Oh, so then what are your five irrelevant games?
Give me what one of those teams that's 5 and 6 can run the table.
Okay, no, because I mean, obviously, anyone who goes 10 and 6 has a chance. I just thought you would be stubborn because you've been calling for like a 10.5, 11-win NFC team.
Yeah.
So then what are your five irrelevant
games? There's only 9 games that really matter. There's really 7 irrelevant games.
Yeah, but
what
were the five? What were your 5 irrelevant games? San Francisco, Chicago. Obviously irrelevant. The Bay game, Tampa, Green Bay is irrelevant.
Yeah, Denver at Miami.
That's beyond irrelevant, yeah.
Yeah. Then, I mean, Giants at Oakland and Cleveland and at the Chargers are just automatic wins for Oakland and the Chargers.
Okay,
so they're
unwatchable. Not irrelevant. I wouldn't call those irrelevant.
Yeah, I mean, they're unwatchable. The Giants and Browns are trying to lose.
They could be 16 and 15 in watchability. But, like, the Raiders might make the playoffs, and the Chargers, like, you know.
Are probably favorites to make the playoffs, yeah.
But I'm going to call it now. The Chargers win a playoff game this year.
I mean, the Chiefs are just so bad right now.
I think they will come out of it. You know, I have some faith in Andy Reid. I do think that they overused Hunt the first few weeks, and he hit a wall, and because they didn't have Spencer Ware, like, they...
Saying the Chargers are going to win a playoff game is not a hot take. I think they're going to be favored because they'll be the 4 seed, and they'll be hosting Jacksonville or Tennessee, whoever doesn't win that division. And then there's no way that Jacksonville or Tennessee would be a road favorite the way they've been playing.
Listen, I was thinking, like, what's the 4-5 and the 3-6 games if the season ended today in the AFC? Do you know them?
Right now? No. Tell me what it is.
Well, I think the Buffalo-Jacksonville game, right? The Jaguars would be the – well, I guess the Titans.
No, Baltimore leapt over Buffalo.
Right, so no.
Night.
Well, Tennessee – so how about this? I mean, Tennessee's 3 – technically, because they have the tiebreaker over the Jaguars.
Yeah, because they beat Jacksonville.
Tennessee,
yeah, they would be
Buffalo,
hosting Baltimore.
If Tennessee-Buffalo was the Thursday night
Baltimore,
game this week.
Baltimore.
Oh, I hear what you're saying.
Baltimore's in ahead of Buffalo.
You're right. I mean, they're tied at 6-5. Yeah.
Nobody wants to watch Baltimore or Buffalo at Tennessee.
But, like, Tennessee-Baltimore, if that was on Thursday night, you would not watch it. The same way you probably didn't watch Houston-Baltimore on Monday night.
Oh, I did watch it because of fantasy football ramifications.
Yeah, but the playoff game, there's no fantasy football.
I would have been eliminated from the playoffs and the only thing I care about, if not for DeAndre Hopkins' magical performance.
Are you in the playoffs in the AYFFL?
That's what I'm talking about. I mean, I need help in week 13.
I can't believe your ostensibly serious league allows 6 teams in the playoffs.
Why?
I feel like 4 is the correct amount.
But it's also everybody plays everybody, so it doesn't really matter whether there's 4
or
6.
Oh, in your league everyone plays everyone?
In the playoffs.
What does that mean, everyone plays everyone?
In week 14, the 3, 4, 5, and 6 teams all battle, and the top 2 advance to face the top 2 seeds in week 15.
Okay.
In week 15, 1, 2, and those 2 teams battle, and then the top 2 teams advance to face each other in the championship.
Okay. I like that, actually. I don't know why you didn't suggest that for our league, but.
Well, we are doing everybody plays everybody in our league.
But then in the playoffs, just, it becomes single elimination. It becomes just like old school matchup.
Yeah, but we do allow you to pick your opponent. So
yes, we allow picking opponent. You can call it. And wait, in our league, can the one pick the two, or they can only pick the three or the four?
No. Yeah, you can only pick up the lower seeds.
Oh, because your dumb brother in our league made it that the one could pick the two, three, or the four. No offense.
So that the only seed that matters is the one seed.
Right. I don't know why he did that. And but the three seed could pick the four seed in the quarterfinals also. I don't know why he did that.
I mean, it's just, I don't understand why any league in like real professional leagues don't do this where you can pick your playoff opponents. It's a thousand times better.
It's such a Bill Simmons idea, but it's like one of his really good ideas. It is smart.
There's no reason not to. All right, so let's pick these games. Last week we tied again. although I have to say, after our podcast ended, I flip-flopped and went to pick the Chargers against the Cowboys. But on the podcast, I picked the Cowboys, so I'll stay consistent there. So you beat me there. But then I picked Arizona to beat Jacksonville, which... seems kind of crazy at the time, but it worked out.
Yeah, and so I picked against the spread this week for the first time in months.
Yes, you did. You guessed the lines.
Guessed the lines.
And, you know, I beat you, but at least you're back in the game. So.
Yeah, I showed up.
Let's start with an irrelevant game. Thursday night, Washington at Dallas. A couple weeks ago, I thought that this Dallas team would, it's unfortunate because in Dallas, all my fantasy teams are built around Dallas. I traded for Dak Prescott. I traded Julio Jones for Dak Prescott, actually, which... did not work out last week.
Well, it sounds even more insane. Like, your league is so quarterback dependent.
Well, Dak Prescott was the number two quarterback in fantasy, I think, at the time. And now he's put up 0 points the last 2 weeks combined. He had like a negative one and a positive one.
I traded Julio for Dez and McKinnon. So I made an equally stupid mistake.
Yeah, I don't think. I mean, Julio started really slowly.
Right, they were each putting... I mean, Dez can't even start for me anymore.
And McKinnon looked incredible. And Latavius Murray, I dropped him actually in the League of Leagues, and then you picked him up.
Yeah, Dez basically, like, I mean, unless you think he's better than Demaryius Thomas, Dez can't even start for me anymore.
Yeah, I mean, well, I don't know, him and Demaryius Thomas are both at this point. All right, so Washington-Dallas, the game doesn't really matter, but Dallas has to get off the schneid, right? Although I've been wrong with them every single
time. No, I think Washington's better than Dallas right now. I think Dallas is in total collapse mode, and I think Garrett's going to get fired.
It's crazy because he was literally the coach of the year last year.
Yeah, I mean, I just think...
And when we did our coach rankings just 3 or 4 weeks ago, we both had him like in the top 12.
Yeah, but they're not playing hard. Like, it's, you know, at a certain, I don't think he's a bad
coach. Hard
to,
it's really hard to understand. Like, the loss of Zeke should not explain how the offense literally became.
Right, like,
worthless.
We thought it was Tyron Smith, and then he came back, and like, now everyone thinks it's Sean Lee, but, like, how
could
Sean Lee? And
also, like, every team deals with injuries. Like, deal with it,
right.
You know?
Yeah. But, someone said in the 32 Fans Facebook group, they're, like, stars and scrubs. They have, like, 12 good players and then 41 waiver wire guys.
Well, that might be because Jerry Jones is their GM, which is a problem.
Right. Well, we don't talk about enough that the owner with, like, no football experience is their GM. It's kind of strange.
Yeah. And then we wonder why that team, has won, what, one playoff game in the last 25 years. All right. Detroit at Baltimore is – wait. Oh, are we going by excitement? How are we doing this?
Yeah, we could go by excitement.
All right. Okay. So let's get the bad ones out of the way. San Francisco at Chicago. I don't care. Chicago's going to win, but I really don't care.
Yeah, I don't care either. I'm not even picking.
As I said, Cleveland and the Giants are going to lose to Oakland and the Chargers, who those teams will get to 6-6. And, still alive in that crappy AFC West. Nothing to discuss yet.
Mm-hmm.
We do think the Chargers are frisky, but let's get them above 500 before we talk about them. Indy at Jacksonville. You know, again, don't care. Jacksonville is going to win. I think Jacksonville people had gotten a little too excited before the last couple of weeks, and then Bortles reminded everybody they're still Bortles.
Yeah.
Like, Jacksonville's good enough to be a playoff team, but they have no chance of going anywhere in the playoffs. No matter how good their defense
is. Yeah, I just imagine when they go down 10-0 in a playoff game. It's going to be unwatchable. You're going to have to switch the channel to golf.
Yeah, I mean, Bortles is the garbage time king, but he's not the comeback king. So, yeah, all right. So that's another bad game.
Mm-hmm.
Denver at Miami. That's a terrible game. I'll say Denver will win that game, though. Actually, you know what? No. Denver hasn't done anything. I'll say Miami.
These teams are both unspeakably bad.
Yeah. Here's the crazy thing. All of us, you, me, Bill, Sal, everybody guessed that Miami would be favored. And Denver's favored. How is Denver favored in Miami when they've lost, what, 6 games in a row?
I mean, Miami's 31st in point differential. They're only 8 points worse than the Browns.
Yeah, but look at Denver the last 6 weeks. They're the worst team in football.
I mean, if you're Miami, like, do you go back to Tannehill next year?
Yeah, of course.
Yeah, you don't try and make a splash? Try and get, like, Kirk Cousins or Tyrod Taylor or Eli or somebody?
I mean, Tannehill's not the problem.
Yeah. I was so high on Gase, and I just don't know what happened this year. It's also, like, Cutler is awful, and Moore is not great, but, like, why is their defense the worst in the NFL?
Yeah.
They've literally allowed the really most points. Other than the Colts, actually. Second most points.
All right, so let's stop talking about these two terrible teams, but I'm picking Miami. You too?
No, I'm going Denver. I think Simeon's the best of those three Denver quarterbacks.
Yeah, he's back by default.
Yeah, Simeon was, in hindsight, Simeon was pretty competent, honestly.
Well, no, the first 2 weeks he was, and then he became terrible.
Right, no, he had a few good weeks, fell off the map. He's one of 12 right, guys.
Battle of the Bays. Green Bay really screwing me. They go into, you know, I see how bad Brett Hundley is, so I pick him to lose. They go into Chicago and win. Then I'm like, oh, they're actually good. I pick him to win. They come home to Baltimore and lose. And then I pick Pittsburgh to cover 13.5, and they go into Pittsburgh, and they almost win that game. So I'm going to be wrong on Green Bay as I am every week, but I'll say the Packers beat the Bucks.
I just think the Packers are playing harder than the Bucks right now. That's almost like what you have to go off of in these games with bad teams. Similar to the Bulls. Right, we're in a pool where we have to predict the Bulls in a couple weeks. It's like, just,
oh my God.
We're basically just going to have, you're going to have to predict like who's trying harder.
It's a complete crapshoot. No one doesn't know anything.
Oh, literally Robbie's the only person who knows anything in the whole pool.
Yeah. Whose genius idea was this? All right, you're not answering. It's here. Okay, let's get to the hefty like scores. The Rams at Arizona. Arizona, a little feisty last week.
Yeah, I mean, Arizona, like, is competent. Like, they lost their quarterback, but their quarterback wasn't even good anymore.
Yeah, the Rams are going to win this
game. Coach coaching for his job. Yeah, of course the Rams are going to win this game.
Wait, which coach? Arians?
Yeah.
You think he might get fired?
I think he might. I don't think he will necessarily, but
people say he's going to retire.
Yeah, or that. He's old. Yeah, the Rams are going to win.
All right. Houston at Tennessee. Did we discuss this game? No, not yet.
Yeah.
Houston's just, it's really incredible how they went from literally the best quarterback in the league to literally the worst quarterback in the league.
I mean, Savage stinks. It ruined Watson, like we said 10 times, Watson going down ruined the season because, I mean, I don't know how much better they'd be than the 7-4 that the teams are chasing, but like a first round of the playoffs with Deshaun Watson sort of like debuting in the playoffs.
If you remember, after that great Seattle game, I said at the time Houston had no chance to make the playoffs because we looked at their schedule.
Right.
So obviously they'd be much, much better with Watson, but their schedule was unfavorable, and Jacksonville, Tennessee had too many games
in hand.
It
might have been too big of a hill, but like these games would have been exciting.
Yeah.
And like he revolutionized like fantasy football for the teams that had him and Fuller and Hopkins and everybody.
Yeah, it's funny. He was traded for Jordy Nelson straight up in my league, in that same league.
That's like trading
and
garbage.
That trade went backwards and forwards in like six different directions. Why it was such an awful trade, and then it turns out that it's completely irrelevant in both directions.
Irrelevant.
Yeah. All right. We're both picking Tennessee, obviously. New England at Buffalo. Does Buffalo have a? I really desperately want Buffalo to miss the playoffs by one game so that McDermott can be fired.
I don't think he's definitely not getting fired. This is an insane take.
It's just incredible that. But he made one of the worst coaching decisions.
No, he
of all
did.
Time.
He's not getting fired though.
Yeah. It's a fireable offense to me. Tyrod Taylor now 6-4. Unfortunately, they have one game with Peterman, so they're 6-5. It'd just be great to see them beat New
Patriots
England.
Patriots are going to murder them. No, the Patriots are going to. The Patriots are rolling right now.
Yeah, I think Patriots are going to cover, but all right. Kansas City at your Jets. All of a sudden, this is a monster game. Your Jets have found ways to lose at the last second every single week. And last week,
the Jets could easily be in the playoff race. Like the Jets have lost so many close games.
They could be, and they should be. Kansas City, they're in the conversation for the worst team in the NFL. I mean,
that's
seriously,
crazy.
They started 5-0. They started 5-0. Since then, they're 1-5, with their only win being against Denver.
I mean, they still have
who's
a positive
on a 6 or 7 game losing streak.
They
not the last 6 weeks. No, again, I'm saying the last 6 weeks. The last 6 weeks, probably the third or fourth worst.
I think they're good. Like this is the type of team the Jets lose to. The Raiders destroyed the Jets earlier this year. Like. I could see the Chiefs winning by 14 points.
Yeah, the Raiders didn't go 6 weeks with only getting one win, like Kansas City.
The Raiders aren't good.
Yeah.
They have the worst defense.
I guess you're right. You're right. The Chiefs are going to win this game.
Yeah,
right?
They're definitely going
to
win.
The baller move is to pick the Jets. I'm going to pick the Jets to cover because 3.5 is too much.
Three
I think
and a half is like more, you know, 3 makes more sense than 3.5, but it doesn't matter.
Yeah. All right. Detroit at Baltimore. This is a great game. These teams are
well.
Sort
you've been
of
so down on
mediocre.
Detroit, but like DVOA likes them. I think they're 11th overall in DVOA. Like you're
well. My
big Detroit hater.
I'm not. On my power rankings, they're like 13 or 12 or something. And so is Baltimore. These teams are both just good enough to just barely miss the playoffs.
Detroit
or
could
just
be
the
third best
the
team in the AFC for all we know.
Baltimore is just such it's sort of a classic Baltimore team from 15 years ago. They have an incredible defense.
Do you know offhand, like, the NFC record versus the AFC? I should have done this before we started.
No, but I knew it a couple weeks ago. I haven't updated it.
Yeah, because I feel like this is like mediocrity in the NFC versus mediocrity in the AFC, and whoever wins this is the better conference. That's what I'm deciding.
Yeah, I'm picking Baltimore for sure. They do one thing really well, which is play defense.
I don't think the NFC, like, just looking at it, like, Atlanta went 1-3 and shouldn't have beat the Jets.
You thought Detroit was going to be favored in this game, by the way, which to me is a little crazy.
I mean, like, Detroit's going to score points. Can Baltimore score points? The 32nd best pass team in the NFL.
Is Baltimore. Yeah, but they have a top three defense.
I mean, like, they're not going to, like, Stafford is going to get his 17 or 20 no matter what.
I don't know. Matt Stafford really gets rattled.
Does he?
You know, he came back against the Vikings to make the score a little bit closer, but in the first half, he was just airmailing passes all over the place.
Yeah, he was not great in the Thanksgiving game, that's for sure.
Yeah, well, I think part of it is the fact that he was getting hit a lot.
You know who absolutely sucked last week?
Yeah.
Cam. He was so bad against the Jets. Just missing so many open receivers.
And yet somehow they cover that spread easily, which drives
me. Well, they scored back-to-back touchdowns on defense and special teams.
Yeah, yeah. All right, who are you picking, Detroit or Baltimore?
I'm going to go with Detroit. I'm just going. It's an NFC over AFC pick.
I got to be honest. This podcast is not one of our better efforts.
No, for sure not. No, this is probably like a bad one. When you re-rank them at the 200 mark, this is not going to be there. Low energy, not much to talk about. Hopefully people like the Braun Strowman story at the beginning.
Well, we had to try it like five times to get
it to start. Yeah, this took like 2 hours to get started.
The technical difficulties. Yeah. All right. Pittsburgh at Cincinnati. This is a good game. Not a great game. We have three great games this week. But this is a good game. I thought that this game should have been Pittsburgh favored by like one at the most. Pittsburgh this entire season, they have one road win by more than 5 points. They've struggled on the road all season long. You know, they've lost to crappy teams like Chicago on the road. Cincinnati started really badly, but since then has been, you know, about a 500
team. Yeah, they're probably like the 16th or 17th best team in the NFL. They are like literally the definition of...
And yet Pittsburgh's favored by 6.5. My lock of the week is Cincinnati. Put all your money on Cincinnati to cover.
Well, you hate Pittsburgh on the road. I'm going with the Steelers here, though.
To win?
Yeah.
I think you're probably right. I'm just saying cover the points. But you know what? I'm going to put my money where my mouth is. Cincinnati's going to win this game.
We got an argument here.
Yeah. By the way, Ari Gold pointed out that Cincinnati's like 0-7-1 in their last eight against Pittsburgh. So probably doesn't
against the spread
well
or overall?
Overall.
Are they have a tie? By the way, it's crazy that the 10-minute overtimes has not resulted in a single tie yet. There's going to be a season in the next 5 years if they keep this rule that has six ties in it.
I mean, I love ties. Everyone knows I'm pro-tie.
Really? Since I moved overseas in 2012, I have not put on a tie once.
Yeah, you've said that on your sign.
That's an amazing stat, though. I'm running on over 5 years of not putting a tie on. Like, I don't even know if I remember how to tie one. You know,
let's state the terms very clearly. You haven't put a tie on overseas, or you haven't put on a tie even when back.
Even when back in America, because nobody expects the foreigners to wear ties. It's a New York.
So what scenario would you have to be in to wear a tie?
I think
you don't have to wear a tie at a funeral.
The scenario for me to wear a tie is
an
American wedding. No, not my kids' weddings. No, definitely not.
If they're all right.
I have two little sisters.
But an American wedding,
they're probably both unmarried.
An American wedding where you're like in the wedding party, right?
An American wedding where I'm in the wedding party is the only scenario where
So at your sister's wedding.
I have two little sisters who are not married.
Yeah. Will I be invited to their weddings?
To my sister's wedding? Oh, you mean because you were invited to my...
You were invited to my brother's wedding.
Well, I mean, you'd have to like join my sister's fantasy like...
No. Well, whatever. I'm just going to come anyway.
We could podcast there. Although
it's been done before.
Yeah. I don't know. My sister, I don't know. I don't know if I have enough. Like, I feel like you have more say with Sammy Chester to, like, get me invited to the wedding than, like, I have no. Like, I'll be lucky if I'm invited to my sister's wedding. Like, I don't know if I can.
I had no involvement in you being invited to Sammy's wedding.
I know. But, like, I don't know if I'm at the point where I could, like,
invite him. I said, you know, Akiva was planning on crashing, and then I heard you invite him. Why'd you invite him? And he said, because I email him from time to time with fantasy football questions.
Oh, by the way,
low
the
standard.
Best thing I ever did was join a league with him, because now he can't ask me questions anymore. He would be very demanding. Like, so he would send us like long emails every week. But I don't think I have any authority to like invite my friends to my sister's wedding.
You just crash. All right, we have three phenomenal games this week. Let's get to them. All right, in third place, I'm going to put Philly at Seattle. Seattle, I think the injuries are really starting to do them in. I would love to see Seattle win this game, but I think it's hard to do. Here's the thing. I've cracked all the numbers. I've crunched the numbers. I've cracked them. I've crunched them. I've done everything else you can do to them. If the Eagles lose either this week or next week to the Rams and the Vikings can hold serve, like catch up one game, the Vikings will get the home field advantage for the playoffs.
Do you know?
So I
that like on ESPN, you can see how much tickets are going for in every game. So like at Dallas Stadium, you get $7 tickets. So that's like, I think like probably obstructed seats because it's such a big stadium.
Yeah, I'm sure.
The most expensive seat of the week is $80 for Chargers-Browns because I guess the Chargers are good now and that's a small stadium. And they're also probably not sold out. So that's probably just like the available tickets. That's what you get them for.
Yeah.
Except the Seahawks game is $175 for the cheapest seat against the Eagles.
Yeah, I mean, it's a great game.
Right, but they also they're the Sunday only team football. Left that like still has good fans.
Yeah, it's on Sunday Night Football. It's a great game. It's the best team in football coming to town.
I think Seattle's the Eagles are going to
more than a 3-point underdog at home for the first time in like 15 game by years or something.
Points. Lock of the week.
The Eagles are going
no question.
Lock of the week. Wow.
They're going to kill them.
You know what? Just for that, and just because I'm desperately rooting for Seattle, I'm taking the Seahawks, baby.
Okay, that's a mistake, but do it.
Yeah, it probably is a mistake, but I need the Eagles to lose one of these. But you know what? Next we have the Vikings at Atlanta, and I hate to say it, but I'm picking the Falcons. And obviously you are.
Yeah, I'm picking the Falcons. No, I like the Vikings, but I'm picking the Falcons at home. I would pick if this game was in Minnesota, I would do it.
Yeah. I don't know. I just every week I've been picking against the Vikings myself. I picked them to lose to Detroit. I picked them to lose to Washington, and I've been proven wrong week after week, so I feel good about that. But Atlanta, they look like they're back. And I mean Atlanta just their schedule doesn't let up, right? I mean, next week they play probably the best game remaining on the slate in the NFC. They're hosting New Orleans, and they're gonna host New Orleans again, by the way, in Week 17. Or no, excuse me. Then they host Carolina in Week 17. They host New Orleans again in Week 16.
Yeah, they haven't played New Orleans.
These Atlanta, New Orleans, Carolina. Yeah, that three-way is gonna be really exciting to see.
Well, they have one. They have four really difficult games: two against the Saints, the Vikings, and the Panthers. And they have one not hard game. That's Monday night in Tampa. Yeah.
Yeah. It's just interesting, though, how the NFL really lucked into this with that NFC West having three elite teams and they're all facing each other every week in the last four.
No, for sure. Like, there have been no good games the entire season, but now they're about to start.
Yeah. All right, so let's get Carolina at New Orleans. They're both 8-3. Carolina's been a really quiet 8-3.
Yeah, quiet 8-3. I like the Saints in this game. I just, like, Carolina has weeks where if Cam is not accurate, you're not going to be able to move the ball enough to keep up with Breeze's 28 points, you know? I just think now, you know, even though like Funch is playing out of his mind, like Olsen was basically useless when he came back. They need to get a wide receiver one in the offseason, the Panthers.
Well, they just traded away one.
Well, I mean, in their mind, he was a wide receiver three, and that's why they traded him.
And the year they didn't have him, they went 15-1, so they didn't seem to need him.
I don't think that's he was injured that season.
Yeah, well, that was the season where I went to the Carolina at New Orleans game, which was a phenomenal.
You've
game.
You've still not been to the Vikings' Saints new advanced. Stadium, right?
Correct. I'll be there for the Super Bowl.
What happened to the South African reunion?
Oh, my dad put the kibosh on it over Thanksgiving dinner. My mother mentioned it actually again. And my dad said, when is this again? My mom said February 4th. My dad said, absolutely not. Veto.
Your dad has veto power? My dad doesn't have veto power. I'm not even allowed in the conversation in my house.
He's not going to South Africa if the Vikings have a chance to be in the Super Bowl. Now, we both know the Vikings aren't going to be in the Super Bowl, but my dad is, you know, deluding himself right now.
It would be great for the podcast if the Vikings are in a Minnesota Super Bowl.
I mean, it'd be great for a lot of things, but yeah, that's not going to happen. All right, so we're picking New Orleans to beat Carolina. Is that right?
Yes, for sure.
All right, we have five disagreements. That's good. We won't have another tie because even though I'm pro tie in the NFL because it's funny, but I'm not pro tie in like our stupid little gambling bets because you know that helps nobody. So, all right, this was not the best episode.
No, but you know what? We'll give the Tim Tebow speech. Next week, we will come back. Like, no one will try harder than us. We'll do our best.
Do you want to give, like, a plug for one of the exciting things we're doing next week or keep it secret from the listeners?
I have no idea what we're doing next week. Do you know? Are we doing something?
All right, I'll keep it a secret from you then also.
Oh, you know, we have a plan for next week?
No, I have no idea.
We have top 10 TV shows and top 10 podcasts that we always do, but those will be a little later in December.
Yeah, actually, you know what? Next week, we're going to – people have been, you know, enjoying my posts on the Facebook group. Next week, we'll recap the regular season and preview the playoffs of the 32
no,
Fans
we will not
Podcast
do that.
Fantasy Football.
You can do that in the Facebook group. Join the Facebook group if you want to see that.
Yeah. Oh, okay. All right, Kiva. I'll talk to you.
Bye.
young and alive.
Young and-